We're doing Chafetz Chaim, we're up to the 7th chapter, the 10th halacha, page Kuf Nun Hei. And the topic we're discussing today is the idea of Dan Lekav Zchut. We have a concept in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avot, and that is that when we see a person, and we see them do something which can be judged in a positive or a negative way, so then if the person is an average Joe, he's a regular Jew, judge him favorably. Meaning, if you have a person that you know he's a terrible person, I don't have to judge him favorably. Why should I? But if he's an average person, he's a good kosher Jew, so then I should judge him favorably. If he's a tzaddik, then I have to go out of my way to judge him favorably. Then I have to assume there's more than meets the eye. Then even if the circumstances don't lend themselves to assume he did something right, let me assume that maybe there's more than I understand. But this is a very, very, very important concept. We judge. We're judging all the time, and we can't avoid but judge. So we have a responsibility to judge favorably. And even though we might imagine that we're not judging, we are. I just this past Shabbos heard. A guy comes to shul, he starts downing in the shul, everyone likes him, and one day he sees that his friend has to say Kaddish, and when his friend comes late to shul, they still charge forward, they don't wait for him to say the Kaddish, and no one cares, and he sees this once, and he sees it twice, and he sees it a third time, and he decides, I'm not going to a shul that can't wait another minute or two for this, my friend, who has to say Kaddish, and he leaves the shul for years. And then he leaves that town, and when he's having a going away party, so the gabbai of the shul comes to the going away party, and he says to him, you know, you decided not to daven by us for many years now, you're leaving now, I want to wish you well, and you should know we missed you all the years you weren't there. So the guy says, you know what, if you bring it up, I'll tell you why I stopped davening by you. So the gabbai says, why, what happened? The gabbai told me the story. And he told him everything that happened. So the gabbai said, how many times did you see this happen? He said, I waited once, twice, three times. I saw it consistently. And I decided I'm not davening in a shul. I can't wait for someone to say their Kaddish. The guy lost his mother, father. He has to say Kaddish. Why couldn't you wait? So the gabbai says, I wish you would have spoken to me. I had you spoken to me, you would have heard that person was a Sfardi, and we're an Ashkenazi shul. And Sfardim don't say that Kaddish. And that person told me that because he's a Sfardi and they don't say that Kaddish, and he's rushing to work, he would much rather that I speed up davening and don't wait for him so that he catches the Kaddish at the end of davening before he has to run out to work. So he asked me, he said, I'm a Sfardi, we don't say that Kaddish. Do me a favor, whenever you see me walk into shul, ignore me. You keep charging forward so that at least I'll catch the Kaddish at the end of davening because I have to run out to work. So he says, I did it out of consideration for that Jew. I didn't do it because I was ignoring him. That's what the gabbai told him. So for years, he says, I'm not walking into that shul because he thinks the gabbai doesn't care about the Sfardi in the Ashkenazi shul. When it's the exact opposite.
That's a very tragic story.
But how many times do we see something and make decisions? We think we saw the picture. We're judging. You can't avoid but judge. And so we have to take a step back and say, I can't judge. I don't know. So that's, we have a concept of dan lekav zchut, judge favorably. We also have a concept of saying, maybe there is more to the story than I know. So we continue our in the Chafetz Chaim. Ve'im yesh alav dvarim hanikarim she'al yedei ze shema shemesaprim alav hu emet. If there are supporting pieces of evidence that what you're hearing about the person is true. So they tell you so-and-so is a thief, and you see him being taken off to the police station in shackles. Nope. Why is he being taken off? There's supportive evidence. Dina achi. So then the halacha is like this. Im yesh b'inyan hazeh afilu im haya davar emet l'shofto letzad zchut. If you could judge him favorably, even if what they told you is true, but you could judge him favorably. And this is a famous story that happened in a community not far from here. The rabbi comes to shul Friday night, and he sees everyone looks like it's Tisha B'Av. Everyone's upset. So the Rav asks them, what happened? So they tell him, we'll make up a name, the Cohen family, which we always liked, and everyone thought they were good, upstanding citizens. Now we all know that he was really a drug dealer, and he's a terrible person. The police just came and they took him off to jail Erev Shabbos with a stash of drugs from his house. So the rabbi says, maybe there's more to the story. No, that's what happened. And so the rabbi on Matzah Shabbos goes over to prison to visit Mr. Cohen. And what he finds out is that Mr. Cohen had a daughter that was ill and needed medical treatment. And she couldn't get the medical treatment. And so he went and took loans wherever he could till he got to what's called the gray market. And on the gray market, when he couldn't pay back the loans, they take a very high interest. And then they told him, okay, till you can pay us off, you will work as a delivery boy for us. We'll give you packages which you will deliver in exchange for the interest that you owe us. Well, those packages happen to have drugs in them. So yes, the police came and busted him, but how did he get to that place? They were threatening him to break his legs, to do who knows what to his family members, and the community wasn't there for him when he needed them. When his own daughter needed medical treatment, he had to take loans from places that afterwards took advantage of him. So you'll say the guy was dead wrong, you should never do what he did. How many people would have stood up to that challenge when it's their own daughter that's ill, that needs the medical treatment? True story. So the Chafetz Chaim says, step one, you see supportive evidence, but maybe, even if what they told you is true, there's a different angle to the story that makes the whole story different. It could be many different details that they told you a negative information about someone, but there's room to view the story differently. Then you can't say I have supportive evidence. You don't know. So then for sure, from our angle, we have to judge him favorably. He's an ish beinoni, he's an average Jew. There's no reason we should look down at him. They told us he's a thief, but maybe there's more to the story. So step one is, you have to judge him favorably. If there's a normal scenario that would put him in a better light, so then you have to try and view him as an unknown. I have no reason to look down at him. I really don't know what happened. But let's say it's something which, if he really did it, then there's no way to say what he did was right. There's no way you could justify it. So then, mutar la'aminu l'kabel, it is permissible to believe what you're told if you see supportive evidence. It's not 100% supportive, but it's supportive enough that it's logical to believe the story, and there's no way to judge him favorably, so then you're allowed to believe it. So this is a very important halacha. So the Chafetz Chaim tells us, but footnote, if we look down under the line, uvechol zot, nonetheless, tzichin nizer meod, you have to be very careful, v'lachkor b'sheva chakirot, and to analyze it from many different angles, imem be'emet varim anikarim, do you really have supportive evidence? Be very careful, because there are many details which we will learn in the coming days, in the coming paragraphs. Because our own inclination misguides us. We end up seeing things and we think it's been proven and we think it's for sure that way, when really it hasn't been proven. Very often our own inclination causes us to think it's been proven. I know it, it's a fact. And then a person gets entrapped in this prohibition of believing Lashon Hara. That's why the Chafetz Chaim says, don't be so quick to be lenient in this matter. So this is a very important point. I'll give you an example. Very often we read something in the papers, so we're sure it's true. Must be true. We had a student I told the story a few times. He converted, he was a Ger Tzedek, and then he took an apartment right near Rabbi Alex Eliasaf's house. He had a ground floor apartment there. And he passed away. No one knew he passed away. After a little bit of time, I realized... So, after about a week, we noticed he isn't coming to class. We went, we broke into his house, and unfortunately we found out he had passed away. Somehow the media got hold of the story, and the media decided it was a very exciting story. Here you have a man who made Aliyah, he converted. His family lives in the Ukraine where they don't even have phones. It took us a week to get a hold of his family. They didn't have phones in their town. We had to call a Chabad that was a few towns over, and someone drove over to that town to get his parents. So it's a very exciting story. So they come to the scene. The place is bustling with police, and the media comes to the scene. So they say, who could tell us about the young man? So everyone points to me. There was no one else there who knew. The police didn't know who this guy was, right? So the media tells me, we have to write a story about him. What can you tell us about him? I said, nothing. They said, no, we want to know. Where was he a student? I said, I'm not telling. They said, we want to write up a whole story about him. I said, right, and I'm not giving you the information. And they said, but we want to tell everyone what an amazing person he was. I said, fine, I'm not giving you the facts. It's his privacy. They said, why won't you? I said, would you let me go over your story before you publish it to make sure what you say is accurate? They said, no. I said, that's why not. Because if you care for the truth, then I could work with you. But if you're not going to let me go over it, make sure it's true. So no. So they kept pushing, and I said, no, fine. What do you think happened? 4 hours later, they came out with a story. Didn't matter that they didn't have any facts. It was too juicy a story to let go. So I read the story. It has nothing to do with reality. They made up a whole story. The guy came from Ukraine, and he put up with this hardship and that hardship. And where did they get that from? I knew the guy. None of it was true. I could have given them a very juicy story. He was a very interesting human being, an extraordinary human being. But what they wrote had nothing to do with reality. But it didn't stop him from writing. So that was one of two stories that I personally witnessed where the media had no compunctions about publicizing a story where they knew full well. There was another story where I also was the only person who knew the details to the story, the only person who was legally authorized to give them information. They publicized the whole story and they had no facts. They wrote a story, it was a story about me. It's a very nice story, but it had nothing to do with the facts.
Speaking.
It's irrelevant, right? It was a very nice story they wrote, but nothing to do with reality. So when we read something in the papers, we're very tempted to think, that's supportive evidence. That's what the Chafetz Chaim just told me. It says so in the papers. It must be true. No, not at all. Not at all. I'm telling you twice. I had opportunity to see how the media works. In the second story, they kept calling me to interview me, and I kept saying, I'm not willing to be interviewed. It's not a story that should be publicized. And they didn't care. They publicized the story. Anyways, again, it was nice things, just not reality. So, okay, do you believe what it says in the papers? I would think twice before I believe it. So...